Hello.
Hi, is that John?
Hi, who wants to know?
Hi, John. My name's Jamie. I'm calling from INS Law in relation to your inquiry about the Scottish Redress Scheme application. Is now a convenient time to speak?
But what application?
You've essentially filled in your details on an advertisement inquiring about assistance with an application to the Scottish Redress Scheme.
Hi.
Yes, can you recall doing that?
Hi.
Yeah, is now a good time to speak?
Ah, well, you bother.
What was that, sorry?
Okay.
Yep, okay, great. So, just so I can confirm some base details with you, John, I've got your name down as John Ruff, is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. Have you ever been known by any previous names, either prior to care, or do you ever change your name? No.
No.
Right. What's your date of birth, John?
15/7/52.
15th of July 1952. And what's your current address?
54 Emerson Way, Newton Aycliffe, DL5, 5H for Harry F for Fox.
Right, one moment. Let me just run that through our system. I did say the poker was BL5.
DL5, 5H for Harry, F for Fox.
All right, one moment. Right, yes, I've got that here. Thank you very much. Right, and can you recall the address you lived in prior to being placed into care?
Hey, well, obviously, care, it was a remand unit.
A remand unit. When were you placed in the remand unit?
When?
Yes, can you recall the approximate years? Or how old you were, and we can work from then?
67, 68, I believe.
67, 68. How long were you there for?
It was about 3 weeks, I think.
3 weeks. Okay. And can you recall your parents' names?
My parents' name.
Yeah, so if your application proceeds, some of the institutions we have to request evidence from to support your application, they have quite a draconic way of searching for this information. Sometimes it won't be listed in your name, it'll be listed in your parents' names.
Oh, my father is John McTaggart Ruff.
Yes, and can you recall your mother's name?
Well, my mum and dad weren't together at the time, but her name was Moira Fawcett Ruff.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay, great. The number I'm speaking to you on now, that's your most up-to-date contact number, that's what you use. And your email address I have down is johnruff.jr22@gmail.com.
That's correct.
Perfect. And in terms of how we contact you moving forward, are you happy to be contacted via telephone, email and text message?
Aye, me bother.
Right. Okay, that's great. Just let you know, all calls are recorded for training and monitoring purposes, okay?
Right, no problem.
Right, so just bear with me one moment while I set up our system. That won't be a second. Right. Okay. So I have to give you a lot of compliance information now. So I appreciate that discussing any experiences connected to the circumstances behind your application can be sometimes difficult and upsetting. So take your time during the call. If you need a break, if you need me to elaborate or explain anything further, or you prefer to continue at another time, just let me know. At this stage, do you want to tell me if you suffer from any communication difficulties or any vulnerabilities that I need to be aware of?
Right. No.
Okay. So the purpose of today's call is to explain what the Scottish Redress Scheme is, explain the options available to you, explain how INS law operates, I'll explain how we fund the application and I'll gather all the initial information we need to assess the merits of your application at this stage. Is that okay?
Right.
Great. So the Scottish Redress Scheme provides financial payments, apologies and support to survivors of historical child abuse in care settings in Scotland prior to the 1st of December 2004. It is important at this stage that you understand all of your available options before deciding whether to instruct INS Law. So you are entitled to apply directly to the scheme by yourself with no assistance. That will entail preparing all the applications, corresponding with the scheme, gathering all your own evidence and drafting your final witness statement to make your final submissions to the scheme. Alternatively, you can instruct a solicitor who operates under the Scottish Government Legal Fees Scheme. So they're paid directly by the Scottish Government for assisting you with your application. So participating solicitors can receive up to £2,000 plus VAT from the government for assisting you with the application, but they get paid regardless of whether you are successful or not. So whether you get a financial award at the end and an apology at the end, the legal fees payment solicitors get paid irrespective of your outcome. Here at INS Law, we do not operate under that scheme and we do not claim any fees from the government. If you do decide to instruct us, you will be choosing private legal representation, entirely separate from the Scottish Government, and we would be funded under a conditional fee agreement and would not be paid by the government for assisting you. Just at this stage, can you please confirm, have you instructed any other solicitors to act for you in relation to your application to redress?
No.
Right.
So is this going to cost me money?
No. I, if you just give me a moment, I'll go on to the next stage on how we fund it. So our agreement operates on what a lot of people call a no-win, no-fee agreement.
Right.
This means if your application is unsuccessful, you pay nothing. If you withdraw your application on our advice, you pay nothing. If your application is successful and you receive a redress payment, our fees would then be payable and consist of our basic charges and the success fee. However, the total fees, including the VAT, are capped. So you would never pay any more than 16% plus VAT of any final payment that the scheme offer you. Do you understand that?
Aye.
Yeah, okay. So you don't have to actually pay us any money for doing this. We just take a percentage of the award if the scheme offers you anything at the end. If the scheme don't offer you anything or your application's unsuccessful, we would not charge you. We would just absorb those losses. Does that make sense?
How long does it take?
That's essentially akin to asking how long a piece of string is. Some are relatively straightforward. Some can go ahead in 6 months, 12 months. Your age at the moment, I'm just calculating that now, you are
74.
So what you would be classed under the scheme as a high priority client. So your application would actually take priority owing to your age. So you'd essentially, a very simple way of putting it is you'd skip the queue. You wouldn't go to the back of the queue. You go to the front based on your age. Does that make sense?
Aye.
Yeah. So it is very important that I make clear that we cannot guarantee that the application will be successful. We can't guarantee the level of award. The redress scheme operates on a discretionary basis, which I will explain in greater detail during this call. Okay. So in terms of what we can do for you, so if instructed, we can assist with all aspects of the application. So we'll assess whether you're eligible. We'll gather and review all evidence necessary to support your application. We'll submit the application. We'll deal with all the correspondence with the redress scheme. If the redress scheme comes to making an offer, what we'll do is we'll advise on any offer that they put forward to you on whether essentially it's a good enough offer, whether we think we could get more, etc. And then we'll also explain the statutory waiver if an award is offered, which I'll go into in a bit more detail later in this call. And we'll also provide assistance with any reconsideration or review process. So, for example, if the scheme offer you an amount that we deem too low for the particular circumstances of your application, then we would also do all the work behind the scenes to get that offer reconsidered and reviewed. Does that make sense?
All right.
Yep. So the statutory waiver, so I'll explain that now in more detail. If a redress offer is made we will fully explain the statutory waiver before you decide to accept anything. It's extremely important because accepting an award can impact your ability to pursue civil claims relating to the same matters against the relevant institutions. We'd never expect you to accept any offer without fully understanding all of the consequences surrounding the award in terms of what the statutory waiver actually means in practice. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So if you decide to proceed, we do have a 14-day cancellation period after signing the agreement. So you can cancel within that period for any reason without charge. If you choose, you can also authorise us to begin work immediately within your while your cancellation rights still remain. So if you decide to proceed, are you happy for us to begin work immediately while your cancellation rights still remain?
Aye.
Yeah, okay, great.
Yes.
Also, what we are going to need from you, so we can formally act for you, it's part of our compliance and our identity verification purposes. We're going to need photographic identification and proof of your address. The photographic identification, do you have any at all?
Any what?
Photographic identification, so photo ID.
Passport, driving license.
Perfect. And then we need a proof of address, so just a letter from any relevant body who sent you correspondence that has your name, address, and the date on. Is that okay?
Yes.
Yeah. Great. Okay. What I'll do is, following this conversation, I will send you an email just with some information in relation to what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. Is that okay?
Aye, that's fine.
Right, okay. So now what I need to do is I need to gather some further information from you just to obviously complete your application. So let me just have a look where we are. Right. Just to confirm, do you suffer from any terminal illnesses at the minute, John?
No.
No, okay. Have you got any medical conditions I need to be aware of?
Yes, I've got COPD and emphysema.
Right, okay. Right, so as part of the scheme, you can nominate someone to be a beneficiary. So if anything were to happen to you once we submitted the application, they will essentially step into your shoes and receive any award. Is there anyone you'd like to nominate?
My daughter.
Your daughter? Agnes Ruff. Right, okay. Have you got your daughter's date of birth?
Oh, no, getting out of hand. I'll get it, though.
At a later point.
Yeah,
okay. That's absolutely fine. Do you know where your daughter lives?
Not the exact address again. I'll need to dig it out.
That's absolutely fine. We'll come back to that. So now what I want to do is... Where you said you were held in remand. Where were you held in remand?
Long again, remand unit, Airdrie.
Longer again, yes. I'm well aware. We've had quite a few clients... who have had dealings with Longer again. One moment, let me just...
I've done it two or three times.
Two or three times. So between what date range were you in Longer again? Can you recall?
52, I know.
So you said 67 to 68 a few moments ago?
Up to about 70. 1970, right. I think it was.
Okay.
Oh, it was
always
within a year or two.
Yeah, that's fine. I just need to ask, have you applied for the advance payment scheme at all?
No.
Right, okay. That's absolutely fine. When you were in care, were you known by a different name than the one you use now? And you've never legally changed your name, I've asked you that. That's absolutely fine. I've got your parents' names here, so let me just pop them in.
The middle name, John Thomas Ruff.
Right, okay.
That's the only one.
And can you recall your address prior to being placed into the remand unit?
49 Lilly Street, Lily.
Street. And whereabouts that?
Bridgeton, Glasgow. I can't remember the postcode for it.
I've got that here. So I've got 49 Lily Street, Dalmarnock, Glasgow, 2403HD. Does that sound about right?
Aye.
Perfect. Let me just input that. Perfect. Right, okay. Have you ever received any payments from the Criminal Injuries Compensation Authority in relation to the abuse you suffered in Longrigan?
No.
Right, okay.
I never
Do you...
really bothered complaining about it. It was a friend of mine told me. He said
Yes.
to me, he says, you're entitled to it. I said, yeah, I didn't know that, Brian.
Not many
So,
people do, and that's why we're here, to
but
assist and obviously get the right outcome for you. Do you have any criminal convictions for rape or murder, or have you ever received a sentence of imprisonment of 5 years or more?
no.
No? Okay. Thank you. Right. So at this stage, John, I need to take a very short and succinct personal statement from you in relation to your time at Longrigan. So just in your own words, tell me about the abuse you suffered. What was it like? The impact it's had upon you?
Oh, yeah, it was basically one screw I can remember. I can't even remember his right name, but they called him Bootsy. He was a bit of an animal, no, both mentally and physically abused me, hitting me.
So he was another person in the detention centre.
Well, he was an officer.
Oh, he was an officer. You can't recall his name.
No, but he was known as Bootsy. He was well known to everybody, Bootsy.
Right, okay. And you said we'll start with the physical elements. So when you say physically abused you, can you provide any examples?
Slapping, kicking, punching.
Right, okay.
You
Do you ever.
couldn't report it because if you reported it, the screws just go up, gang up you and beat you up even more.
Right, okay. Did you ever receive any medical treatment following any of the
No.
physical assaults?
No.
No, okay. And what about the mental abuse? Tell me about the mental abuse.
Of course. I left my own way, nobody able to trust anybody in uniform.
Yeah, okay. Okay, can you call any situations just so I can provide a little bit more detail in terms of what this booty did to you? Obviously, you said he slapped, kicked, punched you. Have you got any specific memories that come to mind when you're recalling this now?
Hey, well, it was one time I went in, it was, I got arrested going to a football match. And what was it? We went in, he says, who's the bastard that got done for smashing the Celtic supporters bus? And I said, it was me, sir. And he helped me a punch right in the gut.
And he punched you right in the guts.
Aye.
And I take it, did he punch you with quite a bit of force?
Aye.
Right, okay. And then your time in Longrigan, was Bootsy always there?
Aye.
Yeah, okay. And did you feel like he targeted you in any way?
I didn't really know. Just every now and again, it was the, as if it was every day. Sometimes he'd maybe leave me a lady, was away at somebody else. I don't know, because there was three or four different halls.
Right, okay. And tell me about the impact this has had upon you, obviously in your later life, as it had a lasting impact.
I see, it just put me wary of people in uniform. I mean, people you're supposed to be able to trust.
Right, okay. So do you think that's impacted your ability to have relationships as you've grown up, or is it trust issues purely for people in uniform, or is it anyone in positions of authority?
It was for a few years after that, it was just people in uniform.
Right, okay. So obviously you've told me of the physical and mental abuse. Did he ever humiliate you at all in front of other people?
Oh, he humiliated everybody in front of people. You just need to go on, mate, no, because you don't want to be seen like a pussy to
Of
all
course.
the other inmates.
No, of
You just
course.
might take it, that's it.
I completely understand. And I do have to ask this is rather sensitive because obviously there's different types of abuse.
Yeah.
So you've got the general neglect. So did you ever get stopped from eating? Was food ever withheld, or did you ever get forced to eat food that you didn't like?
No.
Right, okay. What about emotional abuse? So we've talked about the mental abuse. Do you think it impacted you emotionally when you were young?
Again, it was just not being able to trust people in uniform. You're supposed to be able to trust.
Yeah, okay. And I do have to ask this, John, was there ever any sexual abuse?
No.
Okay, that's absolutely fine. Thank you. Right, okay. Right, that's fine. That should be enough for the statement at this stage. Like I said, at this stage, it's a very short statement. Once we've got all the evidence in later along in the process, we will then consider all that evidence and we will be able to formulate a much stronger statement, because eventually this key statement at the end is going to be your chief piece of evidence in terms of getting you the highest award possible from the scheme. Is that okay?
Yes.
Right. So there's different types of payments from the scheme. There's the individually assessed payment, which is up to £100,000. So that's decided by a closed panel. So you don't need to go anywhere. It's not going to be like court where you've got to stand up and speak about it. It's we give all the information to them and a panel goes behind closed doors and they assess all the information and they make an award dependent on the level of abuse you've suffered. There's also the fixed payment of £10,000, but that's fixed regardless of anything you've been through. So it's fixed at £10,000. You wouldn't get a penny more, even if it's worth more. So based on what you've told me and based on the previous awards made by the scheme and the severity of the abuse you've suffered and the years you were in Longagend, which is unfortunately notoriously known with the redress scheme, we will be wanting to pursue the individually assessed payment, because we do believe that the cap of £10,000, it wouldn't be a true reflection of the abuse you went through. Does that make sense?
Aye.
Yep, okay. As I said, you don't need to attend any meetings. We'll provide the detailed statement to the scheme to tell your story at the end of this stage. So based on all the information you've been provided today, the next step for me is to send you a client care letter, a conditional fee agreement, and a letter of authority. So these are all how we act for you. It's going to be a lot of information, and what we do is we send them via e-signature software. So it's not going to be sent in the post. You'll be waiting weeks. What I'll do is this afternoon, I'll get everything sent to your email address. You can review all the documents on the email, and then you can just electronically sign on your phone. So give it a little squiggle with your signature, and then everything comes back to me. Okay?
See the likes of that. I'm not too tech-minded. One of my neighbours comes over every Sunday.
Yeah.
Her and their daughter, they know everything about the phones and technology. Would it be all right waiting till they come over to get the media all for me? And I'll say that.
Of course, whatever is best for you. So if I get it sent to you, obviously you said Sunday to come round, it'll be with you before Sunday in any event. So
right.
I'll send it to you. I'll send you an email as well, you know, just with the information I spoke about earlier about the
yes.
proof of address and proof of identity. I'll send all that across to you. And on Sunday, when you've got someone there who can assist you, get them to help you sign it. Okay? And then as soon
right.
as we've
no
got
problem.
Everything signed, we will then submit it all to the redress scheme. Okay. Usually once we've submitted this to the redress scheme, it takes about 2 weeks for them to acknowledge the application. But we'll keep you updated at every stage in the process. Is that okay?
I have been. Thanks very much.
Great, John. It's been a pleasure speaking to you. Okay. Any queries at all in the interim, just give me a call straight back. But I'll get everything sent to you beforehand by Sunday so you can get assistance with signing it. Okay.
I'll give you my daughter's address then as well.
Yes, yes, that's absolutely fine. Right. So you'll have my email address when I send you an email.
Right.
You can come back
yeah,
and get all the information. Okay.
That's brilliant, mate. Thank you very much. You have a nice day.
You too. Speak to you soon. Take care.
Bye
now.